The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing how past long-term DMT use tapers the risk of current MS progression. Long-term use of disease-modifying therapies in people with relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis has a beneficial cumulative effect compared to shorter treatments, delaying the development of irreversible disability and conversion to secondary progressive MS, a recent study shows. The study, Cumulative Effects of Therapies on Disability in Relapsing Multiple Sclerosis, was published in the Multiple Sclerosis Journal. The short-term efficacy of DMTs in MS has been demonstrated in clinical trials, yet their long-term impact is less well established. Extension trials are a common strategy for long-term analysis, but are limited by selection bias because most clinical trial participants who respond to treatment are more likely to enter an extension trial, thus leading to an overestimation of effectiveness. Recently, statistical methods have been developed to control some of these biases. However, most studies use conventional statistical approaches and overlook the cumulative impact of DMT exposure over time on current disability. This led to the development of a statistical model to assess current risk, regardless of treatment or a combination of treatments in the past. The model includes DMT exposure, dose, and timing of past exposure to generate a value called weighted cumulative exposure metric. Researchers in France now use the WCE metric to analyze the medical records of 2,285 adult patients with RRMS to estimate associations between exposure to DMT over time and the current risk of irreversible disability and conversion to SPMS. Notably, most people with RRMS eventually develop SPMS. Participants' mean age was 33.4, including 75% women, with a median follow-up of 14.9 years. Most patients were exposed to at least one DMT during follow-up, while 57.5% received two or more DMTs and 40.2% three or more DMTs. The analysis focused on DMTs received 3 to 20 years before. Results showed that past DMT use longer than 5 years was associated with a cumulative protective effect over time. The effect was most prominent between 5 and 10 years prior. If a patient started DMTs 15 years ago, 10 years of treatment led to a 36% decrease in the current risk of developing an irreversible disability as defined by the Expanded Disability Status Scale of 4. Significant disabilities, able to walk without aid or rest for 500 meters or 546 yards, compared to 2 years of treatment started at the same time. The results suggested that long-term DMT is therefore more beneficial than DMT prescribed at the same time for a short period, the researchers wrote. Also, the risk of irreversible disability decreased by 26% for continuous DMT use of 15 years, starting 20 years ago, compared to 5 years beginning 10 years ago, and 38% lower for those who had 2 years of continuous exposure starting 7 years ago. Thus, the earlier and the longer the use of the DMT, the lower the risk of reaching irreversible EDSS-4, the researchers wrote. Also, compared to untreated patients, there was a 24% decrease in the current risk of permanent disability for those who were treated continuously for 5 years, starting 10 years ago. A statistical analysis found the risk factors significantly associated with irreversible disability were sex, current age, irreversible EDSS score at the beginning of the study, inclusion period of treatment, and the cumulative number of relapses during follow-up. For every 1 year increase of age, the risk of irreversible EDSS4 also increased in patients who experienced relapses. Regarding progressing to SPMS, past DMT use over 5 years before had a significant protective and cumulative effect on risk. Here, the risk of developing SPMS was 45% lower for participants who were treated continuously for 10 years starting 15 years ago compared to treated for 2 years starting at the same time. Again, longer duration of DMT had a beneficial cumulative effect on the current risk, the scientists wrote. Compared to untreated patients, later or long-term DMT treatment also significantly affected the current risk, with a 31% decrease in those given DMTs for 5 years starting 10 years ago and 54% lower risk for treatment beginning 15 years ago. In conclusion, the results stress that a long-term use DMT is associated with a stronger beneficial cumulative impact over time than only early use on the current risk of disability or occurrence of secondary progression in relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis, the team concluded.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Don't jump to conclusions over a breakthrough MS vaccine just yet. A medical website's headline screamed, "Breakthrough Multiple Sclerosis Vaccine Shows Impressive Results in Study." The New York Daily News joined in, highlighting a potential breakthrough vaccine. Other media outlets also were using similar adjectives earlier this month. Unfortunately, it's the normal media hype. I suspect some of it was encouraged because the company sponsoring the research is BioNTech, which helped develop one of the COVID-19 vaccines. Now the company is testing its mRNA vaccine model to see if it can be used to reduce the type of inflammation that destroys myelin. As is typical in these cases, cheerleading by traditional media has generated a lot of social media buzz. People with MS have been sharing these stories and sounding a little like the little engine that could, repeating, "I think I can, I think I can," but hold that train. It's a long way to the final stop. I'd like to see a vaccine that can protect my myelin as much as anyone, but I believe we're still a long way from that day. As Marta Figueredo pointed out here at Multiple Sclerosis News Today, the research in the previously mentioned stories comes from a mouse study. It's true the investigational vaccine did prevent disease development in those rodents. In mice with early-stage MS, the vaccine candidate halted progression and restored some lost motor function. But those mice didn't actually have multiple sclerosis. They were infected with an illness that is similar to MS, called experimental autoimmune encephalomyelitis. We're also talking about mice, not men or women. Don't jump to conclusions. I don't like writing about mice studies. A potential treatment may do well on a mouse, but that doesn't necessarily mean it'll have the same results in humans. In fact, some researchers are fond of saying, "mice lie and monkeys exaggerate." There's even a Twitter account dedicated to this concept. After the mice tests come the monkeys. If the treatment passes monkey muster, there are then human tests, usually done in three phases. Don't expect this clinical testing to move at anything like warp speed either. It will likely take years. As the MS Research Australia website puts it, quote, "While this is an exciting research development, it is still in an early research phase. There are differences between human MS and EAE. So while this is an exciting research, several hurdles need to be cleared before we are likely to see such strategies trialed in humans. In the case of MS, the search for the exact target of the immune system continues. They took the words right out of my mouth. Let's halt the hype that gives false hope. Instead, let's report, without exclamation points, that another research project is producing some positive results that may, several years from now, lead to an MS vaccine."
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.